Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. Today, we have Sarah Pell. So they have a really interesting story. Well, I'll let her tell it, but really cool. We've got RVs. We've got Orange Beach. We've got arbitrage, like a little bit of everything. But anyway, Sarah, will you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Thank you, Avery, for having me. My husband and I have currently, for the past 6 years now, which is kind of crazy, living out of our fifth wheel camper. I was a teacher, but 6 years ago, my husband's a journeyman electrician, so we decided to kind of pack up and go on the road. And he actually had started with long-term rentals, and I wasn't very interested in it. And then about 3 years into our traveling journey, I kind of started to look more at our management companies and like, what are we doing here? And I found you and Luke on Bigger Pockets and just decided then that I would like to try short-term rentals and jumped into it with the short-term shop. We bought our first rental, our vacation rental in Orange Beach, Alabama.
So Orange Beach, Alabama, is that a condo or a single family?
It is a condo. Yep.
Okay. So I love investing in condos in beach markets or just vacation markets for short-term rentals. But a lot of people hear that word condo and they're like, oh no, I can't do a condo. So tell me why you guys chose a condo and what you've liked about it.
Yeah. So for us, it was really just, I guess, about the budget kind of first and the numbers. That was kind of where our price point was. And so we wanted to just get into it, I guess. And it was during, just after COVID 2021. So prices were still kind of crazy, but the numbers worked really well. I personally really like condos just because you have that HOA. You don't have to worry about, I see so many people on the Facebook group posting about their darn hot tubs or whatever. And like, I never have those issues. I literally just have to worry about in the condo. So I really like it. The numbers have been really great. Our first year we did just over 65,000 gross for a one bed, two bath. So I was very pleased with our numbers. And then this year we're also on track. So I've been really happy with it. And yeah, basically we just didn't have money and it's a tier one, condo. So it's right on the beach views. I mean, you can't necessarily buy what we bought in a house, you know, you're
right. Yeah, you can't.
So that is just way out of our price range. And like I said, we just wanted to get into it and that was the best. And actually we've had so much success that we bought another condo just in March in the same building.
I love to hear that because I think condos are such a slept on strategy and people are like, oh, the HOAs. But so I have a condo actually upstairs from where I am right now. That's one of our short-term rentals, and it's a $500 a month HOA. But like you said, when you look at what you're doing with a single family, so this covers exterior insurance, exterior maintenance. We have three pools with hot tubs. We have deeded beach access. I don't have to worry about anything but inside the house. It covers cable and internet, water, everything but electric. And by the time you look at what you are paying monthly for all these different things on a single family home, it comes out to the same, maybe even a little bit better. And same thing with special assessments. If you have a single family, you're just paying a little bit here and a little bit there on your CapEx items and on your maintenance items. Whereas you don't have that on a condo. It just happens once every now and then all at once in a lump sum.
Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree. And that's why I really like condos. I guess we looked at the like Smoky Mountains and just looking at the homes again, I was like, oh, like the driveway needs fixed. And that's like on us where there is obviously pros and cons with the HOA, of course, with everything. But like you said, you just have to worry about like your unit and what's mostly going on there. Where, yeah, if you had three pools, that would be crazy in like the expense alone.
So what did you pay for these condos? Speaking of expense.
Yeah. So like I said, it was kind of just still in COVID. So we did, I mean, I'll admit we overpaid for our first one, but I'm so glad we did it. We paid $415,000 for that one bed, two bath. And then now in March, we just bought another one. It's on the first floor. It's a two bed, two bath for $415,000. We actually got, they started listing it at, I think, $470,000. So we, huge negotiation.
Oh, you got a deal.
Yeah. So huge negotiation. It was kind of like grandma and grandpa's, you know, so we repainted, we did minor decor work, but we actually got a really great deal, which was nice. And then it's on the same side, so great views again. We just like the building. A lot of people like our little, it's a smaller condo building. There's only 60 units, and then we're actually surrounded by cottages, so there's no like high rises by us, which is super nice. And then the beach is not crowded at all.
This episode of the Short Term Show is brought to you by The Short Term Shop. If you're interested in buying a short-term rental in one of the top vacation markets in America, just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected with an Agent. If you purchase a home with the shop, you'll have access to all of our client-only benefits, such as training on how to manage your short-term rental. So we'll teach you everything you need to know, from how to set up your Airbnb and Vrbo listings, to how to use the property management software that you'll need to streamline your business, all the way down to helping you source your local boots on the ground, like cleaners, handy people, etc. We've taught thousands of people just like you how to buy and manage their vacation homes from anywhere in the world. So head on over to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected with an Agent to get started. I do have to mention that we're brokered by EXP, or else I get in trouble. We'll see you guys over there. Yeah, that's another thing to think about with condos, is especially in low-rise condo buildings. Most condos that are on the beach have deeded beach access, and that's, y'all might not be having a problem over there across the Alabama line like we are over here in the Florida Panhandle, but in Walton County, the public beach accesses are becoming a big point of contention. And this could happen anywhere where the people who own the beach houses are saying that their deeds go all the way to the water, and that people can't even, you know, put their chairs down there. I don't think here there's a specific way that the deed and the property lines are done that's allowed them to kind of get away with this. I don't think they have this everywhere, but it has definitely made me appreciate deeded beach access and private beaches, because public beaches can be busy, and it's just nice when you're in a condo and you've got the private beach, and a lot of times there's the chair rentals right there that you just, you know, pay the guy with Venmo and they set it up for you. I mean, it makes it really, really easy for your guests.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like, we have the chair rentals right there, and actually we get a little bit of a kickback, which is cool, that we worked out with the rental company with our condo building. So yeah, it's like perfect. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, this is something I don't think we've talked about on the show yet, the difference between a first floor condo or a higher level. Have you found that one of them does better than the other one just because of the level? Or do you think some people like being on the ground floor? I could see all the different sides of that.
Yeah. So I will say it is nice with ours being on the one being on the fifth floor, is that you can see over the cottages. So you like can see the whole ocean and the beach. And then we do have the elevator like right there. Luckily it's not super loud. So I say, like, you don't even need stairs. Obviously, you can just take the elevator. But it's hard, I guess, to say, because we have had a lot of great bookings too with our first floor condo. I think there we're able to attract more families, and they can also see the water. I would say maybe the first floor a little bit better, just because mm-hmm. some people like to hear the ocean. Like, we've gotten mm-hmm. some comments like, I really want to hear the ocean. So mm-hmm. on the fifth floor, you're a little bit back. But they've been pretty comparable, honestly. Just okay. The second bedroom helps with the families, obviously. That's kind of who we've been getting more and more of.
What would be your advice to an investor who's like, well, why would I buy a condo if there's 60 other identical units for me to compete with in that condo building?
Yes, I love that, the oversaturation. I just like to say, like, competitive. But I would say, there's so many ways to stick out. So our whole building is short-term rentals, except we have one permanent resident. So I'm competing against a lot of other people. But like I said, there's definitely ways to stand out. What you put in your condos, the little amenities, like, do you have spice racks? Do you offer chairs? Do you, the way you decorate? Like, we have a huge wall that's just like a ocean wallpaper that just attracts people right away. Accent walls are huge. So mm-hmm. I would say just the furnishings in general, like I said, both the condos we bought were kind of decorated like by a grandma, you know, just hodgepodgey furniture. And so mm-hmm. just changing that out made a world of difference. Like I have a close friend in the condo, and a lot of times I get booked way more than he does just because I've taken the time to change out the furniture where he hasn't. So I would just say within the condo, you can do a lot of different things, like with the amenities you offer in there, the little touches, you know, yeah, like Q-tips or whatever you might need when you're traveling, thinking of your guest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot of ways. If you've got a good building, you can differentiate your actual condo from the other condos pretty easily.
Yeah. And then, I mean, just come back to basics, what you and Luke teach with your Management Mondays, like the title, are you changing that up? You know, your communication with your guests, how responsive are you? I think that goes a world of difference, just being able to like answer their questions right away. I know a lot of people are like, wow, thank you so much for getting back to me so soon. And then like, if it's an inquiry, they book right away with me.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. The good management really makes the difference in a property.
Mm-hmm.
And well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you have ventured into some other types of real estate investing, or maybe not necessarily real estate investing, business starting that involves management. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So after our first one, I fell in love with the guests and the whole hospitality industry and vacation rentals. And so I wanted to continue that. But my husband and I don't qualify for your vacation home loan. We had to do an investment. So that requires 20 to 25% down. So that's a lot of saving for us and working. And so I looked into other avenues, and I stumbled upon a man named Jorge Contreras, who does the real system, and he teaches owning, of course, but then also rental arbitrage and co-hosting, or like a property management. And so I thought that was great. I signed up for his mentorship. And so now I actually have 4 rental arbitrage units, and I co-host for a gentleman 4 of his properties. So I just manage his properties for him.
Where are your arbitrage units?
Yeah, so I definitely believe in the power of remote management mm-hmm. and the tools necessary. So I have 2 in the Tampa Bay area, and then I have 2 in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh.
And then the ones I manage, actually, for the one gentleman, he has 4 properties, and those are just 30 minutes south of Chicago, so in Illinois.
So when you go to choose an arbitrage market, how are you choosing those? Because those are 2, I mean, I could see how they might be a little bit similar, but I'd like to hear how you came up with with Wilmington and outside Tampa.
Yes. So to be completely honest, I had partnered with the gentleman in Wilmington, and I actually started co-hosting with him first. And then he presented this opportunity to, be partners in this other unit in Wilmington. And so at the time I was super new and just kind of taking whatever I could get per se, not really thinking too much about it, which I wouldn't recommend. And so then once we started in Wilmington, it's been an okay market. To be honest, I wouldn't personally invest there again. And I did have that discussion with him just because it's very slow in the winter, like the off season months.
Mm-hmm.
The guests aren't like Orange Beach guests, I guess. They can be a little bit more rougher, if you will say. So that's, I guess, how I found that one. Now it's year 2. So obviously we have it's smoother systems. I feel like it's better. So that's fine. And then I found the one in Palm Harbor, Florida. I really like Florida. It's a vacation market. You know, people like to go there to vacation, lots of families. So now with setting up my team and everything, I started to focus on that market. So I will continue to grow in that area, the Palm Harbor, Clearwater, Largo area.
Okay. And what size properties are you looking for when you're looking for these arbitrage properties?
At least 3 bedrooms, if not more, 4 bedrooms. The 3 bedrooms are getting a little bit oversaturated in the bedroom size, I will say. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest. And so at least 3 bedrooms, if not more, 2 baths. Definitely has to have a pool. Heated pool would be ideal, but I will take a pool as well. And then has to be updated. So obviously I'm renting these properties, so I'm not going to redo the kitchen. You know, like, it needs to have an updated kitchen, stainless steel appliances. Yeah, everything just needs to be very, not high-end, but updated and modern. And then I actually have a team that goes in and we go through the house before I sign any lease, just to make sure it is what the landlord is saying and that it's something that I can just kind of take off, you know, turnkey per se.
Okay. And are these, it sounds like these are single families since you're looking for pools, right?
Sorry. Yeah, they are okay. Single families. I know a lot of people have had success in our apartments, but I just haven't ventured. I've seen apartments just don't make as much. And so that kind of, I guess I get apprehensive where, yeah, I'm just looking right now for single family homes.
What would you say? Because there's really not a lot of people out there that both own and manage their own short-term rentals and also arbitrage. Like, I think a lot of the arbitrage people are like, no, why would you ever buy something when you could rent it? And then a lot of the short-term rental people, myself included, actually, up until recently, I've gotten a lot more flexible in my older age, but they're like, well, why would you not own the asset? Then if something happens with your landlord, then like your whole business is done. So what are some pros and cons that you find about each of these strategies since you're using both of them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say with owning, obviously it's your property. You can make crazy changes, you know, like we've seen recently, like pickleball courts or, you know, whatever you want to add, you can add it because you make that decision whether you're going to keep the asset or sell it, as well as you're getting tax benefits, you're getting appreciation, all those kinds of things with owning. Renting, I would say it's great because you don't have property taxes. You don't have, I mean, I have insurance, but I don't have homeowner's insurance. So that's not a crazy expense, especially like in Florida or Alabama. We've seen crazy increases in our insurance. I don't have that with my rentals. That's on the landlord, the owner. As well as just having those capital expenditures paid for. So if I have my fridge break, I can just call my landlord and have him take it or her take care of it. Now, obviously, the downside is my landlord can sell the property and like you said, then that goes away. But I have with everything learned. And so now I'm signing 2-year leases because if I need to furnish the property, I need that first year to just recoup that. Obviously. And so then year 2 is where I'm really cash flowing what I expect to cash flow. And so I have learned that. But yeah, I mean, that would be your biggest con, I would say, is they can sell the home because it's theirs.
Speaking of the home being theirs, how do you convince a landlord to let you do this? Because I could see myself being like, no, if I'm having short-term rentals in there, I'm going to do it. So, but you know, not all landlords are me. So maybe they have a different take on things, but how do you convince a landlord to let you do this? I think this is probably the biggest speed bump in terms of getting started with arbitrage.
Yes, it definitely is. I've spent a lot of, or calling a lot of landlords as well as messaging a lot. You do get a lot of no's. I will be honest. I think some of these people out there on social media are like, oh, I just picked up the phone and I got a yes. It's not that easy. So I just approach it with corporate leasing. So I will call them and say, hi, my name is Sarah. I'm interested in being your long-term tenant. Do you allow corporate leases? Now, some people might know, okay, that's rental arbitrage, or some might say, what do you mean? And then I go into educating them. So I talk about all the benefits, even before they can say, no parties. So I tell them just who I am, that I have a business, I have professional cleaners that will clean their home, I have handymen on staff. So you as the landlord, I don't have to call you about the leaky faucet. I will just take care of it and you will not know. It also saves you money. I can manage it. So you can cut out your manager and save 10%, as well as saving turnover costs. I want to be your tenant. Hopefully, I mean, the longer the better, but at least 2 years. So that cuts down on your yearly turnover cost and saving you money as well. I also talk about my financials. So I have a high credit score and I also have 6 months of reserve. So you don't have to worry. If I don't get it rented, that's not your problem. I will still pay you your monthly rent. and you're getting a steady rent check. And so that's super nice as well. So I think there's a lot of pros because, as you can see, I'm saving you money month after month, where a typical tenant normally might not. You know, they might call you about any little thing. My light bulb went out. Can you please come change it? So,
yeah. Okay. You make a fair, a good case for arbitrage.
This episode is brought to you by the Premier Short-Term Rental Facebook group. Short-term rental, long-term wealth. We have nearly 50,000 members. This is the biggest independently owned and operated SCR Facebook group, and it has been curated by yours truly, Cashflow Carl. Join us on Facebook. Search the groups for short-term rental, long-term wealth. That's short-term rental, long-term wealth on Facebook. Short-Term Shop Plus has live and recorded sessions on the following topics: creating compelling listings, marketing your STR property, setting up a new listing, managing from a distance, finding and acquiring your first or next STR, live revenue management audits with the pros, analyzing an STR for gross revenue. All of this and much, much more is now available at your fingertips with Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know to have success in the world of vacation homes and STR. Please join us at stsconsultation.com. That's stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com to learn more.
So have you... You haven't been doing it long enough to have actually had to move out of a property yet, have you?
No. So I will be quite honest, though. I do have right now a owner trying to sell their property. So that was kind of a bummer, especially when I signed. I thought we were going to be longer terms together. But no, I have not. So if that happens, I mean, I think I would try to move that furniture into another place. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you see a lot of people even with their own asset just selling the furniture off, but I have not experienced that.
Gotcha. So there's no chance that you would want to buy that property from them and keep it? Would it not make sense?
I did offer that. Yes. Yeah. So I did talk to them about that. But unfortunately they didn't want their, in my opinion, they're way over asking. When you look at comps, they're about 100,000 more than comps. And then I did pitch to them like creative finance, but I also wanted to talk to the owner, and they wouldn't let me. They said that they were representing the owner, and so we had to communicate that way. So I didn't get a lot of answers where I wanted to sit down and kind of find out why they were exactly selling and different things like that. But yes, I did offer. And we had some conversations about myself buying the asset.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the ones that you own. So I didn't ask you how you choose a market to actually buy to invest in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say my husband and I are more beach people. And so that kind of naturally gravitates us towards the beach. We did start looking in Destin, but again, like our just price point, what we kind of found during that time wasn't exactly what we wanted. There was a lot of like off the beach properties in our price range. And we really wanted that ocean view right on the beach, easy access for our guests. So then we just started working up the coast. And like I said, we did get in touch with your short-term shop. And so we were talking with a realtor there, which was huge. I definitely think the more real estate investor friendly people you could have on your team all around is a huge asset to yourself. So that's how we decided to pick. And then just running the numbers, honestly, going back to the data and like, what does the data say? What numbers work for us? And that's really how we decided. Just having those conversations, like having a pullout couch, we can still attract families in our one bedroom. Obviously they're like small or younger families, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, like younger kids, but that's kind of what we decided. And then we did get that ocean view and the tier one beach access.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't beat the tier one beach access when it comes to condos.
Yeah. Right. So that was huge for us. And then, like I said, we've had so much success that we started looking again, and then there was for sale condos in our own building. So we were like, we like the building. Why not just go back to it and buy another one?
And it makes it's efficiency of management too. You don't one set of cleaners, mm-hmm. one destination for them to go to. I mean, like in the Smokies, sometimes even if we have the same cleaner for multiple properties, if something happens and they've got to run across town in the high season to get to one of our properties from the other one, it can take a while. So there's definitely that efficiency in owning multiple units in one building.
Yes. And then even, which I've heard recently, like Chuck Kramer talk about, we do a double listing. So we do that in Wilmington actually too. So we have two homes side by side and then we combine one so it can sleep 12. And then we've done that now with our condo. Since they're in the same building, we've done now a combined unit as well to try to attract those bigger families, which we have gotten. So maybe two families traveling together and they can rent both of our condos to have, you know, three beds, four baths.
What property management software are you using that lets you do that?
I use Guesty for Hosts.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Guesty for Hosts. Hospitable is another one that'll let you do that. I think OwnerRes too. I mean, I think most of them will now, but I mean, that makes such a difference because it opens up a lot of income potential for you.
Yeah, we've definitely seen, I mean, it's huge in Wilmington because each house can sleep six, but then like I said, we get that combined in like 12. And some months, you know, those are our only bookings, which are, you know, we can double our income. So it's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And would you say, so you're in four markets total across everything, right? Mm-hmm. Do you like that or do you wish they were all in one or two markets? So for me, I like having a good diverse portfolio across different markets and different types of markets, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't mind being in the four markets. I do like it. It's definitely gotten my eye open to like seeing how each market kind of is, but then also commonalities between them all. And I like it too. Like if there's slower times than another market, you know, seems to be busier. I will say though, the Illinois, the one that I manage, we have done more midterm rentals. So that's kind of been nice too, as well, to just keep that income kind of more steady. But I do like being across different markets. Yeah, I don't find an issue with it. The only heavy lifting, like, you know, is just building your team.
Yeah. Yeah. But once that's done, you're pretty much set. All right, Sarah, we are coming to the end of the show, but before we get to the final three questions, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you feel like our audience would benefit from hearing? Anything unique about your experience so far with short-term rental investing?
I would just say, I guess, be open to maybe different creative ways like rental arbitrage. If it's something you thought about, I would definitely like explore that option as it can be beneficial for myself. I chose it for the cash flow to help me as a vehicle to buy another asset because at the end, that's what I want to do. But also just make sure you're checking your city and state, you know, regulations for short term to make sure it's okay. And then having the proper insurance. I use proper insurance and they actually do have coverage for rental arbitrage. Oh, so that's huge. Mm-hmm.
That is huge. I knew they had coverage for basically everything when it comes to investing in the short term rental. I didn't know they had arbitrage coverage. That's great.
Yeah. So I would say that, especially with I having the pools, that definitely made me nervous, but they cover it all. So it's great.
Awesome. All right. So we are to the final three questions of the show. First question, what advice would you give 20-year-old Sarah?
I would say to really find financial education. I was definitely like your typical college person. And so just making sure like you have that purpose of like saving something and then having those like 5-year goals. Like, where did I want to be in 5 years? I didn't know. And so I think that would have been huge to set me up for even more success in real estate investing. It's just, yeah, money management and having goals.
Okay, great advice. Second question, what advice do you have for a new investor who's looking to get started today?
I would say don't underestimate the power of networking. That networking is huge. Getting around like-minded people, other like-minded investors, as well as exploring creative financing options. I feel like my husband and I are just now doing that. And so I think that's kind of the secret sauce that I feel like a lot of investors never really talk about is like, you have not have to, but it really helps to use other people's money or leveraging different financial avenues to grow and scale in real estate.
Also great advice. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
I guess the book is Financial Peace with Dave Ramsey, but we took the Financial Peace University, and I know that's not a, well, he has books, but that was huge because, like I said, I needed financial education, and that was a huge mind shift change on how to just manage my money and create success for me even now. Like, it helped us get out of debt. It helped, yeah, just change our whole mindset.
No one has ever said Dave Ramsey on this show, but I do agree. His saving and getting out of debt advice is good.
I mean, yeah, I think, like I said, like, I was a huge spender. Like, in college, I had jobs, but I never kept any. And so until my mom actually was the one that signed us up, which I'm so thankful for. And yeah, it created systems for me and like getting mindset. Cause I feel like so many investors now, you know, the financial freedom, and you have to have money management to do that.
That is true. Well, Sarah, if our listeners want to find out more about you or follow you on social media, where can they do that?
Yes, I'm on Instagram at Sarah_Pell_, or we do have a website, www.cpvacationhomes.com. And I have all my management there, as well as corporate leasing. If there's any landlords listening that want to reach out, I would love to talk.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great episode.
Thank you, Avery, for having me.